This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in Boston, Massachusetts at Northeast PHP, and my special guest is Mr. Brian Fenton. Say hi to everybody, Brian.
Hi, everybody.
Now, Brian, you and I have known each other for quite some time, even though I keep introducing myself to you every time we meet, and I do apologize for that.
No problem.
But you've actually been on the interview team. I interviewed with Mashery three times, and I think you were on one of the interview teams, or you were there during that time frame. So
yeah, I was at Mashery for almost 3 years, just like 2 weeks shy of 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I regret not staying those extra 2 weeks, because I would have gotten more vesting out of it if I'd stayed. But I had a good time working at Mashery. It was a good company.
Yeah, it was a great company. I am, as much as I would have loved to work there, I am glad they never hired me, because on the first floor as you enter the Mashery building is a cigar and liquor store. And I would, you know, the weeks I would have been in the office, I would have just had to sign my paycheck over to them for that.
Anyhow, people think about the Super Duper down there, but
I've eaten at the Super Duper, but I'm a big cigar aficionado, and so it's anytime I'm in San Francisco, that's one of my stops on my last night in the city. So let's talk a little bit. Here at Northeast PHP, you've done a couple of talks, one on unit testing and one on professional grade software. Let's talk first about unit testing, because
sure.
That's something that, you know, that's something everybody can grasp onto. Obviously, you are pro unit testing. Are you TDD, BDD?
I was going to say like TDD, but my talk actually covers, I think, now the sort of the more pure approach is actually like spec BDD,
mm-hmm.
Writing unit tests to cover specifically focused on the behavior rather than the implementation. I think that's a trap a lot of people get into when they're first learning TDD, especially if they're trying to tackle a legacy code base. The only code they have is the implementation, so they think about testing the implementation rather than testing the behavior that the system is trying to exhibit. And I think that'll get them into trouble down the road, because they'll either be doing too much work or they'll be locking themselves into the wrong implementation and they won't have the flexibility to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least, especially when you're starting out with a piece of code, I'd try testing it at one level higher of abstraction, mm-hmm. than digging directly into it if you can.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And that's obviously a technical talk. You're
yes.
diving in. Your other one actually really interests me, professional grade software design, because I feel like that one is much more of a passion talk for you. Because I'm seeing tweets like, being a professional, and I'm assuming professional developer, a professional doesn't mean working at a startup and throwing Heroku instances at a problem until it works. And I love that quote, because a lot of people just think that hardware can solve bad code. You know?
Yeah, I think the real point behind that, not that I have any, I didn't actually say Heroku, I don't have anything against Heroku, I have friends that work there, it's a good company, but the reason why I say that is, when I'm thinking about writing code, I want to think about something that's maintainable and scalable and things that will stand the test of time, rather than just throwing whatever stuff up at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the type of developer that I want to be. And so I wanted to clarify early on in my talk that was what I was going to talk about, and how to build things that are going to be maintainable and have high quality, rather than just trying to prove out a business idea or something like that, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Technical debt, like accruing technical debt, especially for a startup, is usually a good sign, because it means that you're growing and you found something that works. And it's a pain later, but it has its purpose.
Yes, and really my only problem with accruing technical debt as a startup is most startups don't acknowledge the fact that they do eventually have to pay down that debt. Mm-hmm. You may not have to pay it all off at once, mm-hmm. but you do have to go back and fix some of these problems that you're creating, and most of them wait until the problem becomes a performance or a scale issue before they'll bother to even look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. That's been my experience as well. The things don't get fixed until they catch on fire, and then you just try to throw as much of the bad stuff into the fire as possible so you can sort of cut a fire break around it and make sure that it doesn't take anything else down, but throw as much of the dead stuff in there as possible to burn it off at the same time.
So what advice from this talk, if you can give me one point, what advice would you have for software developers to create professional-grade software?
Focus on your behaviors rather than your implementations. Mm-hmm. Decouple your systems as much as possible, lots of small objects mm-hmm. talking to each other with message passing instead of a big, deep inheritance tree talking to itself via its own state. It's going to be a lot easier to test and a lot easier to verify and compose in different ways. Sort of the Unix philosophy of small tools doing one thing well. Mm-hmm. You can take simple things and make them do complex things, but it's much harder to take a complex thing and necessarily make it do a simple thing if it's not what it's there for.
Absolutely. Great advice. Hey, you're a video gamer, but
yes.
I'm a video gamer, but my main function is I die in Call of Duty. That's basically what I do.
Sure.
But you don't play those kind. Talk to us a little bit about what type of video games you play.
Yeah, I'm not much of a first-person shooter type of gamer. I tend to play, recently I've been playing quite a bit of sort of Japanese-style RPGs from the 90s.
Oh, wow.
I've thought that was kind of like sort of the golden era of that style, like your Chrono Trigger, your Final Fantasies, your Breath of Fire. Suikoden is a game that they just recently released on the PlayStation Network. It was one of those games where, if you were trying to track down an original copy of it, you'd be paying like 80, 100 bucks to find a disc. And then they released it on the PlayStation Network for like $9 or something. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy that. And so I hadn't actually played it until now, but it's very good. It in some ways, it has some characteristics of like Game of Thrones, but set in like a Chinese-style revolutionary period. And it's really cool.
Very neat, very neat. That's very interesting. Like I said, I'm a video gamer from way back, but it's mainly first-person shooters. The lovely and talented Kathy and I found very early on in our marriage that there's nothing better to clear up marital problems than a good clean headshot. So, we would play together on the same servers and just have a wonderful time. I want to talk to you.
That was how my roommate and I solved disagreements in college. Is we would have a No Mercy tournament. it was a wrestling game, WWE No Mercy. I think it might have been WWF by then. But yeah, it was beating each other up in proxy was very.
Yep, we were Team Fortress 2 players at that point. So, hey, you do a lot of talking at conferences. So I want to talk to you about talking or speaking, because this is something that's very near and dear to me. I try to encourage every developer, if they have any interest at all, to get out there and speak. But you and I were talking a little bit earlier. You said something that really piqued my interest. You said that you like to try out your talks at your local user group. Talk to me about why you do that.
Oh, I think it's a great way to both support the community that you're already a part of, mm-hmm. and you get early feedback with how well the talk works. You can get feedback from people in your local community, like what worked well, what didn't. You can see how the talk flows, you give back to your local community, and you get practice for a larger stage. Mm-hmm. And you can see just test things out in advance and preview things. Plus, when you go to submit your proposals to CFPs, you can say, yes, I've already given this talk. In many cases, they can record it, and then you can send in, here's a video of me already doing this.
Yeah.
And then it can be a much more useful thing for an organizer to have that information there.
Yeah, and you hit upon my two big favorite points, and that's number one, you're never going to have a more friendly audience than your local group. You're never going to have a more an audience that will laugh harder at your jokes or be kinder when your jokes aren't funny. You know, you get up on the big stage, you tell a bad joke, they just look at you. But also, it is giving back to your local community. I feel very important that we need to be giving back to our local community. It's not a matter of, you know, a lot of the bigger name speakers, you know, you only see them at the conferences, and I feel like it's very important that we start at the local group, and every talk should be given at your local group so that you can support your local group, whether you're Derek Reetens or you're just starting out. So I want to thank you for taking the time. The same question I ask everybody at the end: what's your local user group and what's the URL?
That would be the SFPHP user group. I think the best place to find it is just meetup.com/sf-php.
Excellent. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for being with us, taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. I want to apologize once again for introducing myself every time we meet. And thank you for all that you're doing to help the PHP community grow.
That was fun. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.